Hello and welcome to Pro You Podcast, episode number 375, iShare Part 2. I think it's a pretty cool thing when you're sharing, get it? A story about how one deals with the test directly determines the outcome of the test. And life happens live and interrupts that story to put you in another test that's about how you deal with that test will directly determine the outcome of that said test. And that's what happened. Recording was abruptly stopped by a full card, which was impossible to have, and it threw me for the rest of the day. And with the help of my fantastic Canadian assassin producer, Nico, he helped me, got me through it. I got it to him that night, and he got it to me Thursday morning, and I was able to put it out. So big shout out, thank you to my producer, Nico. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then it was more of a story to share. Finished the story on the first episode, cut the episode in half, and then went to the rest of the story in part two. All the notes I had. So a bunch of notes. I got to them all. I hope you are well. I hope you're getting ready for the COVID pandemic holidays. COVID's up. They're locking down places everywhere again. You know, it's just, it's not going to go back to normal right away, and people got to get okay with that. But every client, every mentee, every person I talk to, they recognize and they are aware that they are doing great in lieu of. They could have it way worse, and they are very thankful, one, for what they have, how well they're doing, and how well they're doing individually on their Pro You journey. Everybody I train right now, it's a dope saying, love it, but it's a fact. It's the best they've ever been. That's pretty cool. That's my tribe that was built and gathered with my new vibe that I share on every Pro You Podcast episode. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. If anybody ever has any comments, questions, stories, things they'd like to share, you can email me, proyoupodcast@gmail.com. I'm on Instagram, Facebook. You can message me anywhere. Would love to hear from you if you have any questions or any stories to share. And if it's just for me, cool. And if you don't want me to share them, I won't. And again, just thank you for being you. And again, I hope you are. Because this, you know, gets to be the tough time, you know. The New Year's, the Thanksgiving, the Christmas, you know, all those are moments that, you know, are big tests for people. So it's definitely that time of year to make sure that you are the best you. So thank you for listening. Thank you for some more supporting my journey, and enjoy. iShare, part two. Here we are. I'm sharing. Sharing again. I thought it was just kind of funny when this past week thinking about what happened. And, you know, you don't have a boss with the podcast. You know what I mean? People listen or not, you know, you still have the podcast. So it's just kind of cool that you could, you know, I'm sharing my walk, you know, my journey, my experience. Not exactly live, but within relatively short period of time, I'm sharing what I've experienced in life. As I'm doing that, life happens live. And it was kind of like, okay, how do I, well, here it is. What are you going to do? You know, it took me the entire day to finish part one. And I didn't even, you know, get to my notes of what I wanted to share. And before I forget, you know, it's a big thing to me. I don't know why I've never missed a Thursday in 5.5 years, 374 episodes. I've never missed a Thursday. I just don't want to. But last week was really close. And if it wasn't for my Canadian assassin producer, Nico, I may have missed a Thursday. And no one would care. No one would probably even say anything, mention it at all. But it's just kind of like that thing you got going and you want to stay consistent. So I don't like being dependent. I don't like asking for help. That's a struggle for me. But I've gone to Nico in the past year, probably more than anyone, and he's just always there, always willing to do whatever he has to do to figure it out, to help me, no matter how difficult it is, to show me things and teach me things. I would not want to be him and have to deal with me. But thank you, thank you, thank you, Nico, for all your help. I mean, for you podcast by TJD, but, you know, it's honestly, at this point, the things that have happened and occurred without Nico, you know, it wouldn't be the same. So it's, a lot of the credit goes to my producer, Nico. So again, Nico, just thank you, buddy. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So getting back to the story. So what I was explaining was kind of this plumbing thing that was going on, and kind of started feeling that, I'm feeling a little like that vibration, that little hum in the background, like, well, if I call my manager and if the manager calls the landlord, I don't really want to see that dude because he's not like my favorite dude right now because he kind of charged me a couple of fees. And I was like, whatever. So anyways, it was just that. And in the background of that last episode, I could kind of hear it during the playback. I had to check out a couple things, but they were cutting wood. And whenever I got back from the store going, okay, let me try the disc now, you know, and I didn't know it was 5 hours later before I finished, but I kept coming back and they were cutting the tree right next door the entire day. So at least we eliminated that noise and that's gone. So again, while I was recording that story and during that episode, my disc in my recorder said full and it just stopped recording. And I was in no clue how to get this card to not say full because I don't have anything on it. I record, delete each and every episode, so there's nothing on the card. So the card must just be bad. So again, story went and got it, came back, had to reformat the old one, blah, 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 blah. Fast forward, I was like, you know, what if I don't get the episode out? And I was like, you know, it's out of my hands. You know, I mean, if I come back, I'll ask who I can. I'll get help, you know, and Nico can do it. And then I've got time to record it and send it to him. You know, I don't want to, hey, you know, Nico, wake up in the middle of the night and make sure you know, I don't want to cause any discomfort to Nico with this whole process either. So the fact that I was just like pretty chill and calm the entire day with the wood cutting, with the full disc, with running around and with it taking, you know, almost an entire day to finish an episode. It was kind of like, well, I did pass that test and now I'm coming back to tell the rest of the story on how I passed this test. It was such a cool moment because I started to feel that yuck, you know, stress, anxiety, whatever it was. And I was like, wait a minute, nothing's happened. You have a clogged sink. That's it. Right now, it's all you have. And you know, the AA thing, next indicated step, just, you know, call the manager, notify the manager. What she does, go from there. She says, I'll let you know what to do. Cool. She texts back, sending out a plumber from 2 to 4. Fantastic. I was home. Plumber got here like 1:30. He was like, this super chill dude. I just liked him for some reason, named Jose. And came up and just poof, fixed the kitchen sink, went into the bathroom, had a little problem. He said, come here. I went back to her. He said, like a little leak here. You're going to have them, you know, move this whole, I don't know what you call it, kind of a sink it was. It sounded like a pedestal. to get at it. And he just showed me, so I knew. And I said, okay, thanks, left. He went down. Manager came up and she said, oh, Jose said you were such a nice guy. It was really kind of like mellow, cool kind of experience the rest of the day. And then they're like, well, the owner will, you know, landlord will come out and fix that, you know, when he can. And he ended up coming out, and I was just, I'm kind of like, you know, not holding a grudge or anything. And it's an old guy, and I didn't know it. But, I mean, I always kind of ask if he needs help. And he typically does, because he's not like a big dude or anything. And so he's in there, and I knew you kind of had to lift this sink up. And I'm like, do you need some help? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, I broke my rib last 3 weeks ago or something. I'm like, oh, my God. And so it's just, you know, like in and out, kind of helping him, chilling. I was futzing with something on my desk or whatever like that, and like the whole moment passed, and I remember going, okay, you're starting to feel, you know, let's just call it yuck. And he said, okay, why are you feeling yuck? Nothing's happened yet. That's a whole story. What are you doing right now? How bad is it right now? You have a clogged sink. Do step one. Notify your manager. Stop thinking about it. And then it was like, it just all played out. And it was like, oh, really, really nice plumber. And the landlord is really, really overly nice to me. Like he's trying to make it up to me somehow. So it was like all, you know, like great, fantastic. And how one deals with a test directly determines the outcome of that test. It's almost at a point of redundancy now. Because as I'm telling a story with that theme, a real live story happens with that theme, and passed them both. Both had great outcomes, and I get to move along, and again, I get to share those. Because if you've been listening for 5.5 years, you've heard me say how one deals with a test directly determines the outcome of that test and how it started. Maybe you heard it, maybe you didn't. But my brother was visiting from Vegas. And I won't go into the whole thing, but he's running late to take a test, a cop test he was in town for, and, you know, all this kind of thing. But that's when I came up with the motto, you know, that quote. And I've applied it to my life over and over and over. And especially during the last, you know, 3-4 years of doing the podcast, there's just moments when I'm catching myself. And to me, it always kind of, like that separation of like, this is life, but it's kind of like Monopoly, because that used to stress me out and bum me out and make me worry. And now I'm kind of like, well, let's see. And then it turns out good. And I'm like, and that happens kind of often. So I'm just going to do that. It just makes life a lot easier. You don't get so wrapped up and embedded, and, you know, just vested in it. So I'm on to my notes, and I got a bunch of notes. That's actually why I didn't read any quotes. I got notes, I got the full whiteboard, and then I got a bunch of sticky notes that I couldn't even fit on the whiteboard. So here we go. In no particular order. For one crazy reason, I had 5 clients on one day. I mean, it was the first week of the month, so I meet with my mentees, and they all were, hey, I have one client on Tuesday, and 2 of my clients are like, can I train Tuesday? I'm like, sure. All my mentees are like, hey, can we meet Tuesday? I'm like, sure. And one person at my meeting, so it was 5. And it was being really aware that every time I was on, meaning speaking with a client, I was really on. Like I could just, you know, there was no turning me off. At the second one, third one, fourth, even the fifth one, there was just no turning me off. But I was highly aware of how tiring that really is. Like I wouldn't want to do 5 clients every day, because I just tend to kind of not over exuberant, but I mean I just tend to give, and I get vested, and I get kind of into it, and you know, I get excited if there's a breakthrough or something. And you know, you take a little break, you walk in, you eat something, you got another client, you go through it again, you're feeling good, you walk in, take, you know, your foam roller, you know, you come back, you do another client, you know, and you start going like, I don't know, like it wasn't a bad thing at all, but I love just being aware. Like, I, again, a lot slower now, a lot less clients. I don't typically meet with, you know, over 3 people in any one day. But to have five, it was like, okay, I was highly aware of me, what was happening, and how I felt after. And I made a note. I think that's great to do. There was a feeling I had, and this is probably the last while. I don't want to say this whole year, but you know, I kept having these moments where they would just blow up, and I was really in them, you know, taking over my friend Sean's yard that one day, and you know, just really being into these things. And it was, they weren't planned. They were just spontaneous moments. And it was like, talking to Moshe, he's kind of said, well, you know, that's kind of like being present. You're just right there and you're kind of, you know, able to maximize those moments. And that really resonated with me. So I kind of kept that. And then I was actually making a found art piece for a friend. And it just became like the most important thing. Like I knew I was going to make it. So I went to the beach the next day. I knew the stones I was looking for. I came back, had to substitute some of the stones I had because I just wanted to make it perfect. And I kept redoing the stones because I just wanted them, you know, kind of in descending order going up, just a little smaller, a little smaller, a little smaller. I was going to do like 7 and I ended up with 10. And, you know, then I kept spraying it with polyurethane. I made this badass base to it and I put screws in my little branding chip of wood with my logo on it. And I was just so into this thing for like 48 hours. And like nothing else mattered. Nothing else entered my mind. Nothing else got in the way. Nothing else distracted me. Like it was the most important thing. And I just gave it to my friend. It was done. It was over with. There was no big parade or to do about nothing. And I got done. I was just like, it seems like whatever I'm doing at the moment is the most important thing. And I went, wow, I just said that. Whatever I'm doing at the moment is the most important thing. I go, wow, wouldn't that be the definition of being present? Way to go, Tom. No past. No future. Just right now. Pretty powerful. So randomly, in one day, I told 3 different people to be thankful. All different scenarios. You know, one was my manager, and she was washing her car. And I said, "Hey, how are you?" And she's like, "Well, you know, some good days. You know, some better than others. Some." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "But there just seems to be one thing, like every day, that you can kind of be thankful." And I kind of went into this little thing, and then it was a little bit later. Talked to another person. And it was right after the 3rd one. And I'm like, they weren't clients. They weren't planned. It wasn't like a theme I woke up with and I felt like sharing with. But each individual moment seemed to call for me to share the power of gratitude. And I thought, isn't that great that after one day, that's you know, if I died, what would he do on his last day? He's just telling people to be thankful. Just random people he met, ran into, ended up speaking with, having a conversation with. And again, that vibration, that frequency I'm operating at, I like where I am. Like again, being aware of that was cool, but then going, wow, I just pointed out the importance of being thankful to 3 different people throughout one day. Again, I'm not jumping up and down, patting myself on the back, going, look at me. I know what was in my head for 48 years. And it was none of what I'm sharing now. That's why what I'm sharing, I'm sharing. This is big news to me. This is huge. I'm going to be 56, and I'm experiencing things for the very first time that I love. So yeah, kind of excited. Like to share. Thanks for listening. I love the quiet in the Zen garden. I mean, it's, you know, Hollywood and it's L.A. and I'm a block off Sunset and it's quiet. And, you know, I mean, maybe it's probably, you know, a little bit to do with the COVID, but I have windows open now. And now is that time of year where I don't even have fans on. So there's no fan noise and then there's no noise. And the windows are open and you can hear the wind chimes. And it was, again, that okay, cool, I love that. But I was like, wait, you love now that you love the quiet. Like, there was always sound, always noise, always music, always TV. There was always a distraction because there was always noise in my head. It didn't really make a difference. And now there's quiet in my head. So sometimes I just don't want to watch television because it's noise. I don't want anything on because I just want the quiet. And not like, oh, I got a pounding headache and I need the quiet. It's like, no. I have the quiet. I've obtained, embraced, love. I am thankful for the quiet. And therefore, I appreciate it. And therefore, I think I really do need it. But then I thought, how cool that I can just sit in the Zen garden, total silence. And love it. I wouldn't have written that down as a goal. Hey, Tom, you're 20. When you're 50, do you want A, to be really stoked about being alone in the quiet? Huh? I had two comments, and I just liked my answers. So I've probably never shared something like this before. But one client, twice in a row, and I noticed the second time, they go, when do you go to the beach next? My answer, today. I loved that. That's probably a little weird Tommy moment right there. But I remember it was like a week or so, 2 weeks later, whatever. Same client. And just happened to just, you know, randomly, hey, when are you going to the beach next? And I went, today. And I go, I remember the last time you asked me, that was my answer. I go, I love that. It should be a T-shirt, bumper sticker. When's your next beach day? Today. I meant it. Guess when I'm going to the beach next? Today. I'm not kidding. Love that. I do. I do love my life. The other comment. We were trying to schedule a training session. Got on. Client was kind of running late. And he's like, oh, I had a work thing. And I paused and I went, I don't have that. I'll let that sink in. And this is something that someone really pointed out in their life. And I just always feel that. One of the questions I tell people, I go, if you could be better at being you and your life as is was easier, would you want that? So of course you would. Of course you would. Well, that's how I feel right now. And that's one of my notes. I said, just my life right now is just easy. Like, again, I'm crazy, stupid, over the top thankful. Like, I just feel incredibly blessed. And to me, I have a lot. Because I have my health. Zen's healthy. I have my faith. And I'm able to be present. Like, I'm like, I got that. I'm good. Anything else is icing. But again, just to have that every day and wake up and know, okay, these are the people I, you know, conversate with and like and enjoy. And this is where I work out. And this is my home. And this is the stuff I make. And today I'm going to the beach. And I'm sharing my story, my journey, you know, on my podcast. And I would not change a thing. And big news for me. I have, and this note's a week late now, I have done 8 workouts in 3 weeks. And that's more consistent than I've been in a year. And it was just always, you know, start doing something and be a little tweaked and run the next morning and then be a little tweaked. And just, you know, it gets frustrating. I mean, it's that big kind of thing that it's like, okay, here's the elephant in the room. What are you going to do about it? You don't work out hard. You know, and I worked out hard for 40 years, but the question that overcame all of that inconsistently was, well, Tom, how are you? Better than ever. Okay. Maybe not as big, maybe not as strong, maybe not as fast, better than ever. So you want to throw around 50-pound dumbbells and be a little bit bigger, or have that quiet in your head. You don't get both right now. So to me, that's an easy decision. But, you know, just listening to life, going, can't do that, stretch more. And I got another client. Couldn't run, came back, injured his calf, and he's got to stretch his calf. I'm like, oh my God, dude, I got to stretch my calves like all the time. Like, I before, during, and after every run in the morning now, and then throughout the day. And it's like, I don't care. You have to, my body says to me. I don't care if you stretched them for 30 seconds or 3 minutes. You got to keep stretching them. And when you stretch them all day, it's still going to be tight. And if you don't stretch them, that's going to mess up your hamstrings, your lower back, and your neck, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, so I'm going to foam roller, and I'm going to stretch my calves, and I'm going to not do certain dumbbell moves, and I'm going to stay lower weight, and I'm going to have milder workouts, and then I can do 3 a week? Yep. Wow, okay. So now it just feels good to have done X amount 1 week, the next week, and then the next week, and, you know, not even 3 a week. You know, I took a, you know, little break, so I was, you know, a little tight listening to the body, but, you know, roll up on the end of this week, and I look back, and I'm like, that's the most consistent I've been. It's just not quitting, not giving up, not getting frustrated. Because, again, I mean, I did a workout hard for 40 years. I mean, boxing, kicking, lifting weights. I mean, everything. I did everything all the time. So for me, just to be like, oh, you did a little workout a couple days ago, foam roll today, I'm like, should I not be doing more? So a great moment. I've had a bunch of Mosier chats. But I was able to stop by his new place. And he has a deck outside his office at his home. And we went out there, and there's two rocking chairs. You know, kind of like patio looking chairs, kind of more shorter and round. But they rocked. And we sat there, and Zen was with me. Zen was running all over the house, and Zen came up and laid down on the deck looking out, and the view is just, there's kind of like a nature preserve behind him, so there's no real houses, it's just land. And I thought, that's probably one of the best Mosier chats, because we walked around the house and we chatted and you did everything else. When we got up there, it was kind of like we just kind of went into talking about some things. And it was just like, cool, but I was very aware, like, here you are sitting with this dude, rapping, same level, you know, just get along, just, and you don't have a girl, you don't have a house, you don't have a big career, and yet you can conversate because this dude invited you to his home, and you're up on his deck in his brand new rocking chairs chatting. And I just felt, I'm like, I like my life, like, I'm good. You know, like I had achieved, I had arrived, and I was at peace with that. But that was a cool moment. And I, you know, in that moment, I was present. And then I told him, I go, this will be a moment I do not soon forget, my friend. So I was talking to a client, and he mentioned this woman and what she apparently says all the time. And then I mentioned to a couple people, like, oh yeah, that was like a long time ago or whatever it was. But I guess I'm late to the party with Marie Kondo and her spark joy comments. But a client said, you know, over the pandemic and stuff, people were like, well, we got time, let's clean and organize, you know, the house. And he goes, you know, I noticed you like painting and doing things just because you could, because you're like excited about it. And he goes, it was like that woman. I said, what woman? He goes, you know, that Marie Kondo about spark joy. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, she says that everything that you look at, that you own, should spark joy. And I went, oh my God. Like that literally, when I was like, I looked around my apartment, and then if it didn't make me feel good, I want to fix it and make it look better. I wanted to get rid of it or make it new. And I looked around, I'm like, and then I added that. I go, if I look around the Zen garden right now, I go, everything and where it is and how everything looks sparks joy. I'm like, and I love that. I told it to another client. They're like, oh yeah, that's like old news. So I did, I checked out just to see who it was. And it was like this Asian lady, and she was talking about like clothes. And not that I went through my clothes asking if they sparked joy, but I'm like, do I wear them? No, throw them out. And it's like, you know, now I look and I'm like, those are clothes I wear. You know, I got rid of the clothes I didn't. But I love that. I mean, if you haven't heard of her, check her out. She's got shows on Netflix. Yeah, nothing positive. It's Netflix. But Marie Kondo and her spark joy theory. Love that, love that, love that. So, again, these are these super cool moments. And no one would notice. No one would say anything because they're so small. But they're huge to me. I had two different clients have foam roller moments. You're like, what? Yes, that's what excites me. Talk about Sir Hardwick for a moment. His girl got a job in New Mexico for 3 weeks, so he went with. And at first I thought, well, you know, everything's virtual, so that's what a lot, you know, allows him to be gone. Because I know he's still a busy dude. So he actually got there, and then we were talking. He's like, no. He goes, I took it. I took the time. And he goes, I really don't have anything going on. He goes, you know, I banked some podcasts, and you know. He's like, I could take the time. And I was like, and I said, you couldn't or wouldn't have done this ever before. And he's like, yeah. He goes, I couldn't. There's no way I could have taken 3 weeks off. Or would he have wanted to? What would he be like? What am I going to do? Why would I do that? Why would I mean, just completely. And I've always joked with him saying, you know, I always knew you're going to be successful. You know, I always knew you were going to, you know, turn out that way. But I said, there's always part of me kind of hoping you turn out a little bit differently. And I said, more and more, you're turning out how I want you to turn out. Because he's getting it. You know, he hammered, worked, crunched, made a, you know, bunch of money, made a bunch of products, made a bunch of shows. And yeah, how is it looking back? And it's like, there's a lot of work and stress, and then he likes it now, and he's more comfortable, and he's more peaceful, and he's happier. And I said, and now, why are you there? You know, you're there to be a good husband. I go, that's a dope thing, you know, supporting your gal. I go, that's what life's about. And I just was so happy. He's like, oh yeah, and I brought a foam roller. I went, what? He brought, I mean, he's never, ever, ever, in the 15 years I've trained him, traveled ever, anywhere with a foam roller. And again, the importance of it and him going, well, I'm going to be there for 3 weeks and we're going to train, so I may as well have it. I was like, wow. Like, again, congrats. You arrived. Best Hardwick ever. And then I'm training another client and I have a note down because we were going to go over their workout. And I had a note, foam roller, ? So I'm like, does he have one? Does he do it? I don't know why. It just popped in my head. Not a new client. And we were done working out. And I almost clicked the off button to say, you know, end the Skype chat. And he goes, oh, one more question. And he walks off screen. He comes walking back with a foam roller. And going, hey, can you show me a little bit how to use this? And I was like, oh my, what a great, fantastic moment. I mean, I have it written down. So it's like, you know, just this beautiful moment that the thing that I'm thinking about asking him, he's like, yeah, I'm going to ask about it. And then I'm glad that he remembers because I actually had forgotten. And I'm like, and that was just, and this is what I wrote down later. I said, I just love watching people evolve. You know, people in their 50s going, hey, I want a foam roller. I should foam roller. That's a new person. That's a better version. That's a brand new shiny version. And I love watching that. Like, I love witnessing the evolution of people. So again, foam roller. Gotta be doing it. Gotta do it. And this was one of the notes I wrote down from Mosher when we were chatting. He said, humans suck at discerning what is real. And I was sharing with him the iShare part one, the podcast episode with Rangan and Deepak, and talking about, you know, being, you know, awake and going, okay, wait a minute, you know, what is this? You know, is this real? Is this reality? Like, what am I doing? And And it was just kind of cool. You know, Moses said, yeah, one of the things, and it made sense. Like, the one of the things that we are bad at is discerning, you know, what is real. So again, that movie, that thing playing out in our minds, and it's like, I'm going to worry about the future, and I'm going to regret the past, and bum out, and stress, and it's like, wow. You know, none of that's real. You know, it hasn't happened. Or it didn't, it's done. This is a fantastic moment. Client. Quote. A quote from a client. I don't know if it was on the spot. I don't know if she had it written down, but it just came out of her wonderful mouth. Four words. Try less. Be more. And I just fell over, out of my chair, out the door, down the steps, onto the street. I almost got ran over by a car. Four words. And you know, she was just speaking from the heart. She was like, hey, here's a quote. Here's a catchy little snappy little thing for you. She was just going, you know, I'm just in that place where I want to try less, just be more. And I was like, oh, that is freaking beautiful. Like, I got it. I felt it. You know, it's that I'm trying to get this stuff, and I'm trying to get in shape, and I'm trying to lose weight, and I'm trying to get a better job, and I'm trying to find someone special. I'm trying to make more money. Trying, and I'm like, wow. You sound tired. You know, that favorite quote of mine. Just sit in the old and the known. And feel the vastness of the silence and the emptiness, and just see how much life is in those moments when you're not trying to fill it. So if you're not trying to get things done, trying to move forward, trying to accomplish, trying to conquer, trying to overcome, just be. So just try to be present, be alive, be thankful more often. Just be thankful. Sit in that. I don't think you could ever sit too long in gratitude. And if that made sense, yay. Thank you, Madeline, for a wonderful quote. So I met with two people last week, both online, and both were short sessions due to success. Twice in a row, I met with two people. And the first one was like, yeah, I don't really have a lot to talk about. Things are so good, and I'm just doing what I'm doing, and like, he's gotten it figured out. And I was kind of like, wow, like, taken back. Like, I don't know what to say to that. I can't make up stuff. I just can't think of things to say with, there's, you know, no fodder. But I was just like, you're that good. Like, there's just nothing that tripped you up, nothing that concerned you, nothing that threw you. It's like, that's, you're aware, you're awake. And it was like, success. I was just, yay. I'll take those short sessions. A couple of days later, another client. Yeah, don't have much to say. Might be a short session. And I was like, wow, it's happening. And I'm like, I love it. I'll take them. And the second one, I mean, with both, I'm like, let's do a workout next time. We'll chat less, we'll work out more. Head's good, let's work out. Let's just keep moving it forward. But loved hearing that. Like, you know, I kind of do half-hour sessions, but I rarely do a half-hour. I mean, I always go over. And if, you know, things are kind of, you know, cool, which a lot of times they are, I've gone, you know, almost to an hour a lot of times with people. So to be at like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then to be like, I don't have anything else to say, it's almost like a sense of a bit uncomfortable on their part, like they should be. And I'm like, nah, this is success. This is where we want to be. I mean, we can always work out and exercise. That's easy. But again, those are the moments that are filling my cup. So I did want to mention I have two brand new spanking 2021 calendars out available, ready for sale. One is a Zen calendar and the other is a Found Art calendar. They are both $24 shipped. If anyone out there is interested in a Zen calendar or a Found Art calendar, let me know. I spent a couple days, well, my plan was to get an indoor plant. And I was successful in one sense. I got something, but it's hard for me to call it a plant. It's more like a small tree. And I called it the tree of life. Like when I looked at it, I got it. It was just like this female representation tree, like who screamed Mother Nature. like this was the logo for Mother Nature, was this small tree. And it was just a whole event, getting it, picking out the pot, bringing it home, putting it together, got moss, putting in a little stone. I mean, it's crazy heavy, but it's ridiculously cool and crazy big. It looks kind of like a hippie palm tree. But there's like more, you know, palms, there's like more leaves and they're a little squiggly. It's just the coolest thing in the world. And I nicknamed her Mamacita. And I'm like, that, this is like the weird thing. It's like day five or six I've had it. And I'm like, I believe we're connected. I think I joke going, Zen and I got a roommate. Part of me is like, no, we did. Because like Zen's connected, I'm connected. Plants, trees, like we're all connected. You know, we're all vibrating together. We're all the same thing. And now there's this other being in our home. And I touch it every day. I just like, I don't know, I just completely feel like it has this energy of its own. And I posted pictures and got a bunch of comments, but it's like ridiculous. And that was just, I should get a plant because I've had some bonsai trees and I have, to this day, have none of them left, which is heartbreaking. And I've had a few small plants and never been a big green thumb, but I've retained one. I just have this one small plant that I've had for quite a while now, but I'm like, I just need more green. And it was just dope. I mean, I it is like the center of the Zen garden, and you see it from all over, and it's, obviously I'm looking at it right now as I talk, but it's the coolest thing in the world, man. So there's a person I don't like seeing when I walk Zen. Why doesn't matter, not a big reason. But I wrote down, I avoided the yucky person by focusing on Zen, focusing on the good. I felt better. Go figure. Because it was this metaphor. Because this is a person that stares all the time. And you just, it's like crazy rude to me, but like to the extent of it, it's just gotten way bad. And I was, again, good mood, love my life, happy, blessed, thankful, walking Zen and walking straight ahead, looking straight ahead, walking down the street and just kind of out of the peripheral to my left, I see this person. And immediately I just kind of turned my head a couple degrees and I looked at Zen. I'm like, just stay at Zen. I just said to myself, just stare at Zen, just watch Zen. And I was, you know, focusing on Zen. And Zen kind of ran kind of by this bush and looked for a little something and then kind of came back out. We were about to kind of cross the street. So, you know, I said, Zen, you know, come here closer to me. And then we crossed the street and I crossed the street and I was like, it was done. Like, I didn't stare back. I didn't get into the thing that I normally do. And I just focused on Zen. And I'm like, wow, no matter what I've done, felt, whatever experience I've had with the yucky person, I've always felt yucky after it. This is the first time there was no yuck. I was like, well, why? Focused on what you had. focused on the good. And I was like, that's such a great concept, you know, because it's like, that's what I want. I don't want to like win. I don't want to beat everybody. I don't always want, you know, and I just want to like avoid everyone. It's like, well, you can. What you choose to focus on, what you choose to let in, what you allow. Next time someone, you know, swings at you, but this person was a block away. But instead of going, oh, are they staring and you're looking and blah, 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 whatever it goes, I mean, it's all wasted. And it's just like blocking it out. And it's hard to block stuff out, I admit. So it's like, then focus on something that you have, that you're thankful for. And it was so easy to focus on Zen. And then he did this little thing that kind of drew my attention. Before I knew it, I was like across the street, and there was like this little smile, like this little glow inside, going, you just almost had a yucky experience and didn't feel yucky. Would you like to do that again? Because it's never been not a little yucky whenever I would run into this person. Because I'm like, you're rude. You're just a yucky person. And I'm going to tell you. But to totally, again, not get in the mud, not do any of that. I mean, man, again, just that's the vibrating higher. So speaking about walking Zen, I guess I walk Zen a lot, or things happen a lot when I walk Zen. But three bike cops had kind of passed Zen and I walking, and then for some reason they had stopped a little bit ahead of us. And there's a little bit of me that went, oh, I should, you know, because I was like, did they see me and now they're going to say something, you know, because I don't have them on a leash. And I'm like, well, if they say something, they say something. So I just keep walking, because I've been passed by hundreds of cops in 4.5 years, and not one cop said ever said anything. White privilege, said but true. Again, just how we look, there's nothing bad about this, but, you know, yeah, I'm sure if you're of another race walking around with a pit bull in Hollywood, you'd probably be stopped, and that's sad. Anyways, I digress. I got about parallel with these bike cops. I hear one bike cop go, because I had snapped my fingers to slow up Zen, because he was kind of starting to get a little bit ahead of me right as we got to those cops. And I'm like, well, now I don't need you 15 feet ahead of me off a leash walking by, you know, because he'll typically walk right by me. So I just snapped my fingers, Zen paused, I caught up to him, and we're just about to pass the cops, and this one cop goes, see that? That's a partnership. He just snapped his fingers and the dog, okay, I'm going to slow down. And I just kind of kept walking, looking straight ahead, but I pointed at him. I'm like, you got it. Exactly. But I thought that was like one of the most best moments that, I mean, if you look at Zen and I, you go, okay, that dude's in control. His dog's chill. Fine. They're not bothering anybody. But I also like that that's kind of the energy that most people, when they see us, they're like, oh, it's a good dog, chill dude, they got a great relationship, hey, that's pretty cool, they're connected. And that's all that anybody thinks when they see us together. And again, it's like that thing where, hey, this is how old you are, this is what you have, this is what you look like from the outside, do you like it? And I'm like, yes, 100%. The last story I'm going to share is kind of a great pro-you story. I had two clients that recently slipped and fell. And, you know, you're 160, 170-pound person, and your feet go up and you drop and land. It's never a good story. Never goes away fast. And here's the great thing that I get to say a lot of my clients, because neither one got hurt really bad. They were stiff. They were kind of, you know, a little tight for a couple days. But I said to both of them, I go, healthy people get hurt in those moments a little less, because stronger, got a little bit more balance, got a little bit more core strength, a little bit more muscle, and a little more resilient. You know, they've experienced a discomfort with working out that sometimes, you know, can help when we fall. And then the second part is healthy people heal quicker. because it was like, I think 5 days later with the one, and this guy slipped, went up in the air and landed on a wooden step. And, you know, kind of on his booty. So, you know, it was like the lower back, up his back, into his leg, you know. And it was like 4 or 5 days later, he was doing a workout that we did a week ago before the fall. And it was just so, those moments are like, just so you know, the workout you did today in lieu of slipping 4 or 5 days ago is why you want to stay consistent working out. Healthy people get hurt less and they heal quicker. Because it was great. I mean, both these people, you know, over 40, could have slipped, fell, and been jacked. You know, you can have problems for a long time. You go to the hospital, chiropractor, you know, can't turn your neck. Something's tweaked forever. You know, when you fall in your 40s or 50s, it can be detrimental. But to have it really be like a speed bump and you up over through it and onward, that's credit. That's again, that's why I say what I say, why I do what I do, and come to my well by the water I sell. Make you the best you that you are, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Why? Because you are worth it. Welcome to your Pro You Moments. Stoked you're here. Love these moments. If you made it to this moment and you're deeming yourself worthy, well, it says a lot about the path you're on and the path you're headed toward to continue on. So congrats. So let's begin to control that which we can. Sit on the floor, legs folded if we can. Eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over hips, navel tucked into the spine. We're going to draw the inhale through the mouth, nose, pardon me. Allow the exhale out the mouth. So we're going to elongate that inhale, slow it down through the nose. Allow the exhale out the mouth, slow it down, elongate it. It's going to take focus, so it's going to connect our mind and body in this moment, which will make us present. Anything else enters, just kindly, calmly ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do this for the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Bravo. Well done. Congratulations. All these things I say repetitiously, if you've listened, you've heard so many times before, little things done consistently. How one deals with the test directly determines the outcome of the test. Deem yourself worthy. And those things applied, executed, fast forward, time is the last variable, and you're a better you. And you've gained separation between what's real and what's not real. You've become aware of so much more that you weren't aware of, especially that which is most important, and that which you can control and that which you cannot control. And it all turns into being comfortable with who you are, being confident in yourself, and having conviction in the things you do and say. And that is a peaceful path. That is a pro-you path. And that's what I feel I'm on. I feel like I found the best path for me. And now I'm going to do everything I can to stay on it. And while I do that, I'll share my journey. I won't tell anybody what to do. I'll just share what I did. And hopefully they can take the moments, the experiences, the lessons that resonate with them and apply it to their walk, their journey, and their pro-you path. Peace and God bless.